Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Robert Jensen. He's an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Sonali.
The war in Syria is ramping up even as the refugee crisis in Europe continues to build up. An anonymous U.S. source told AFP that Russian tanks and artillery had arrived in Latakia, a Syrian airbase, bolstering the arsenal of President Bashar al-Assad. A Pentagon official named Jeff Davis also confirmed the presence of Russian troops in Latakia, although Russia maintains that they are simply military advisors and are not participating in the fighting. According to The Guardian, Davis said Washington would welcome Moscow's contributions to the effort against ISIS, but that military assistance for Assad could, quote, risk adding greater instability to an already unstable situation. Millions of Syrians have been displaced by Assad's war and also ISIS attacks. Hundreds of thousands of them are making their way in a steady stream to Europe for asylum, but Hungary has now decided to close its border with Serbia, forcing refugees to remain stuck as they work their way north. Those who forced their way through the border have been detained. Serbia's government has appealed to the EU for help. Well, Bob, this war is becoming increasingly complex. Are you surprised that it now appears as though Syria's government, Russia, and the U.S. are all fighting ISIS and all sides are contributing to the refugee crisis?
Well, sure, there is a responsibility for the crisis and for dealing with the crisis on all sides. But let's remember in the United States that we are the primary motive force behind this crisis. When the United States decided to invade Iraq and destabilize that region, when ISIS formed and moved into Syria, all of this is a direct result of U.S. policy. And that means whatever the Russians are doing that we don't like, and there's lots of reasons not to like what the Russians do, the primary responsibility is ours, and that means the resettlement question is primarily our responsibility as well. Remember, the United States is the most affluent country in the history of the world. It's the third largest country in the world, which means we have the resources more than any other nation to deal with this, and our response to date has been pathetic, and we've been playing Europe as the bad guy, in a sense, and it's mostly our responsibility.
Here in the United States, Bernie Sanders addressed an evangelical Christian school on Monday. Speaking at Liberty University in Virginia to a packed auditorium of 12,000, Sanders, who was on unfamiliar ground, quoted scripture. He said, "Do to others what you would have them do to you." Mr. Sanders is Jewish. He focused the majority of his speech on income inequality, which is his main platform, but added, quote, "I understand that issues of abortion and gay marriage are issues that you feel very strongly about. We disagree on those issues. I get that. But let me respectfully suggest that there are other issues out there that are of enormous consequence to our country and, in fact, to the entire world that maybe, just maybe, we do not disagree on." Other Democratic candidates have not reached out to evangelicals as Sanders has. Bob, what do you make of his speech? Was this a smart move?
Well, I think it was a smart move politically because Bernie Sanders continues to do things that make it clear that he's not a traditional politician. And for a lot of people, that's a draw. I think... while it's easy to say we all care about people and let's all, you know, rally for justice, obviously the question is much more basic. And at Liberty, it was clear that Sanders wasn't talking about the two main areas where he disagrees with those, not people, not only on religion, but on capitalism and on feminism. So the abortion issue, to me, makes no sense if you don't have a feminist analysis. And there was Bernie Sanders trying to kind of, I think, fudge that. He's trying to talk about economic inequality without talking about the problem of capitalism. And I think that's why the audience at Liberty, while they were respectful, weren't moved, because the debate never got past a kind of superficial level.
And finally, a 198-page report by the Ferguson Commission has outlined the major problems that exist in the low-income Missouri area neighborhood, but also suggested solutions. The report, released on Monday, echoed much of what the Department of Justice cited in its report earlier this year, including changing the way local courts fine poor residents for minor offenses. It also found through a survey that a shocking 55% of residents said they're traumatized by experiences of racism. Overall, the report suggests that more than a year after the killing of 18-year-old Michael Brown that sparked a rebellion, little has changed. The commission recommended that Ferguson treat nonviolent offenses as civil rather than criminal cases, including ending the jailing of nonviolent offenders. Addressing the crucial issue of economic justice, the panel also suggested raising the paltry minimum wage from $7.65 an hour to $15 an hour. Well, Bob, these recommendations sound great. The question is, will they be applied?
Well, probably not today, but I think there is a growing movement that is not only in the streets protesting police violence, but leading to political pressure for these kind of changes. You know, I'm going to say, as someone who's white and now comfortably in the middle class with my professor's salary, this was a really important report for also reminding me about what it means to be poor in this country, what it means to be the target. And I think, you know, whatever political outcome there is to this report and other reports like it, those of us in positions of privilege should remember that the world is really set up to make our lives easier. And it's people below us, often not visible to us, given the way the world is organized. And so there's both a political and I think a very personal value in these kinds of reports, and we should be paying attention.
Bob Jensen, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Sonali.
Robert Jensen is an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. This is Uprising. We'll be back after this break.